word. It would be spirit. It would be, and I know that's like that doesn't necessarily put points on the board or doesn't necessarily get you anything if you haven't got enough quality. But it's like what I said earlier. I think you could have all the quality in the world, but if you don't have that, if you don't have the spirit right in the group, then that quality won't shine. And I just feel, look, it's a school environment. They're lads that have spent 5, 6 years together there, and maybe that's where we had a benefit in having, such a small number of clubs, for example, that they're all really tight. They come from a pretty small area in the bigger scheme of things. Like Dunica Campbell is one of the most popular lads in the group, and like he's coming in from Capitagal, and the rest is, and Adam Staunton is coming in from Tina Abidjanari. The rest of the lads are all from three clubs, and that certainly made it a very, very tight group. They've spent all that time together in school. I suppose maybe you can just focus on that a little bit and make sure that bond is there. But if you're asking me about one factor, that's it. Obviously, we have players with loads of quality, but I think it was just the bond and the will that was there from them to be successful and do it for one another. I think that was the biggest thing.
The Maroon and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
You're welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. I'm delighted to be joined by St. Raphael's hurling manager, Franny Ford, where we're going to look back on St. Raphael's journey throughout the year, where they ultimately just came up short in the Crow Cup final against St. Kieran's, but an unbelievable achievement to get there. It's a few weeks, Franny, since it's passed. Have you been able to think about the journey and the achievement in itself of, I suppose, what she produced throughout the year?
Yeah, I have. In fairness, I suppose you look back over the whole thing, and we started out on the 4th of September. It's a long time ago now when you think about it. So it's a big chunk of time that I suppose we spent with the group of players. First of all, like, it's probably longer than in many ways than some of them would get for their club season. So if you think about clubs just kicking off now, and when we got back to school, a lot of them were actually finished. Like, that they're if they got knocked out of the minor championship or whatever early, their year was pretty much done. The county squads were pretty much finished at that stage as well. Obviously, all the 15, 16s, all those squads were finished. So just looking back at that, that's been a big thing, that the amount of time, the amount of sessions we got done with them. Like, it is a chunk of work, but just on the bigger scheme of things, I suppose we'll come back to it maybe later on, but in terms of that player development piece, it is a huge part of their hurling year and their hurling lives, I suppose. But looking back on it, yeah, I suppose we set out with the objective of, first of all, we knew we'd have work to do to get to the Connacht final. And we knew then that, just going back over the last couple of years, there hasn't been much between ourselves and the prez. Mm. And honestly, that was obviously our primary target, to get to that final and see could we get over the line this year, because we'd come up short last year. And obviously got that done, and I suppose what happened after that then became a real bonus.
Just a couple of years ago, you won a B title against Clare Galway, and obviously there's none of those players were involved back then. But for yourself, when you consider where the schools went from winning a B a couple of years ago to now in an A, that just must, when you look at all of that in an overall context.
Yeah, and even I suppose even over the last kind of 8, 9 years, I suppose, like, we at the time, kind of 2014, 15, around then, Raphael's would have been a B school most of the time. Now, it was a different structure, and the A's and B's kind of joined together first, and then the top teams went to the A, and the other ones went to the B. But at the time, we had the likes of, Kevin Cooney and Darren Morrissey on the team that time, and we actually won a B. I think we won a B in 16. But we were certainly operating on smaller numbers that time. The school has grown quite a bit in the years in between. But yeah, won another B then in I think it was 19, and went on to win the All-Ireland B. And that was, at the time, that was huge for us. And it gave us a platform to say, right, like, we'd won the B before, but we didn't have probably enough coming through to say we'd be able to compete and stay in A. at the time. But this time around, we felt that when we won the B, we actually had a lot of TYs and 50s. So we were confident enough that from there on that we'd be able to compete and stay in A. And we managed to do that. I think the winning the B All-Ireland gave us a great platform and it gave us great confidence. And then, as it turned out, the following year, we actually won the Connacht A in 2020. And unfortunately, that was the one that COVID put an end to, because that was a team that, and I would still say it, was a team that we felt was ready to go places. And you could go through the names like the likes of Alex Kinnear, John Cooney. I'm going to leave some out now, but Shane Morgan, these lads were all on that squad, Adam Nolan. We felt we had a really strong group. And then, you know how it goes in schools, it goes in cycles, probably struggled for a year or two after that. But I suppose I never thought that we'd get back up to the level we got to this year so quickly again, and that a good group would come along again so quickly.
Was that tough, just 2020, when you mentioned some of those names now? There's obviously a lot of those lads in with Galway now, but like that it was taken away from me.
Yeah, and look, you know, who knows what would have happened. But I'll tell you, Paul, like even personally, I found that very difficult. And I know the lads, you can imagine lads of 17, 18 at the time. We absolutely, I actually, everything about it really sticks out in my mind, funnily enough, because we had had our last, even date stick in your mind, funnily enough, we'd had our last kind of big training session on Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2020. And Thursday, the 12th, is when Leo came out to announce the lockdown. And those things really stick in your mind, because the game was down for, I think it was whatever it was, the Monday, the 16th or whatever it was. And we felt we were absolutely primed. You know, we had a lot of homework done on Flannans. We were about to go play Flannans. Obviously, Prez were on the other side of the draw. Prez were playing Colastone in the other semi-final. That's how it was going. And, you know, of all the years, Paul, and I would look back on that Prez team, that was a really strong Prez team as well. The Flannans lads would absolutely expect they had won the Hearty. They would have expected they were going to win, and Colastone would have been the same. But of all the years, there may have been an opportunity for two Galway schools to meet in the final that year. That's all I'd say about it. You know, I thought we were in a good place. Prez had gotten over the fact that we had beaten them in the Connacht final. They'd won their quarter final. So they were going to be, certainly if they got us in the final again, I'd say they'd have been gunning for us. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was such a shame. And it certainly had an impact. It had an impact on all of us, being honest with you, Paul. And from a school point of view, as I said to you, I suppose we felt that was a massive opportunity had been taken away. It wasn't one that we had missed. It was an opportunity that had been taken away. And you're kind of saying to yourself, you know, God, we'll probably never have a group like that again, you know. So, but that's what made this year in many ways so satisfying, that a group came along and you could actually see them, you know, grow through the year, and their performances got better and better. And even though we didn't win the final, I would have to say that our performance in the final against the opposition we faced was probably our best performance, in that we left absolutely everything out there.
If I just take you back to the start of this year, the 4th of September, you mentioned there you met. Is it just with schools Ireland in general, when you know kind of at the start of the year that you have a group, that they're all there at once, and that you know there's something achievable? Did you feel that straight away when you, I suppose, kind of put your squad together?
Yeah, well, we would have felt it because we had been so competitive with Prez last year, and look, they beat us by 2 or 3 points in the end. But we really performed well, and you know, we had probably the bones of that group were still with us, in that they had been in fifth year, or maybe even TY the year before. We had also won the junior last year, and had won that pretty well and had played really well. So we knew there was a good group there. I suppose the question was whether we'd have enough balance and whether enough lads would really step up, so that we'd have those, you know, 19, 20 players that you need and that you can put into that environment, which is like, it is a very high level. So we felt the group was going to be there. We set about it, and we played a couple of matches. I remember we played Ardscoil Reach. Now, to be fair, we were down a good few players at the time, but they gave us a good hiding now in a challenge match. And that was an eye-opener. And it was then you have to decide, well, you know, if we're going to do this, we've really got to go to work. And to be fair, we really did. We had done a few weeks training, and then some lads were kind of very busy. Like I said, Paddy McCaughey was still playing senior with Sarsfields, and obviously they went all the way to semi-final, and trying to get that balance right. So when all the kind of club stuff was completely over, then we actually gave them a break for a good 2.5, 3 weeks, a complete break. Because I just feel, even from a player's point of view, psychologically, every way, I think there's a period in the year where you absolutely have to get a full break and just stay away from the pitch and just switch off. And we did that. And then from kind of mid-November, we decided once we went back in mid-November, we trained in school, usually Wednesdays and Fridays, and then we trained on Sundays. And you'd say for a school team to train on Sundays, it's a big commitment. And it is a big commitment, but it just gives you that, it gives you that bit more time. So that's kind of how it went from mid-November on. It was right through Christmas. I think we trained like the 2 weeks off school for, I think we trained 7 times or something like that over Christmas. So you were really making a count, putting in the time. The lads were putting in the time and the effort. And I suppose ultimately it did pay off. I know we didn't bring home the All-Ireland, but certainly I think individual players, and I look at from a school point of view, Paul, you always feel that okay, families send their kids to the school or whatever, and clubs have put a lot of time into those players up to that age or whatever. And one of the responsibilities we always feel we have is that you're handing back players to their clubs, but you're hoping you're handing them back as better players because they've been exposed to, a good level of training and good quality matches, and that, as a result of that they will improve. And whatever about the coaching side and all that, like if they're getting games at a pretty high level, the game will teach them more than any coach, is the way I would approach it. And when they're getting that exposure, they will become better players.
I know last year when you reached the All-Ireland series, you were down a lot of bodies, but do you think that kind of stood to your squad this year that they got that experience last year?
I think so. And I would even go back, so the 2021, obviously that got cancelled. And then in 2021, there actually was no championship. And if anything, 2021 could have been our strongest team, because actually a lot of the 2020 team were still there in 21. But look, it wasn't to be. And again, that was hugely disappointing, number one, for the players themselves. But we came back then, and then it obviously everything was back to normal and resumed in 2022. The 2022 championship for us 2 years ago was something like what happened in the All-Ireland series last year. We took, I think we played Gort in the semi-final, and we got a hiding, being honest. But we were very, very young. Colin Killeen was playing on that. He was in third year. We had a number of third years playing because, as I said, it goes in cycles, and we just didn't have a huge number of leaving certs that year. So we had a very young team. And honestly, Paul, we had to take a few on the chin. Like we had a number of thirders playing when I think back on it. We kind of had to take a few defeats like that on the chin. And then last year, yeah, we went to the All-Ireland series, and I always felt that that would be a good experience for us, albeit that we were young and albeit that we went into it. I won't say it, well, it was seriously depleted because of the quality of the players we were missing, right? So we're missing Oscar O'Gorman, Colin Killeen, and Vince Morgan, and like they're absolutely three key players for us. But we had to take a really tough defeat on the chin against Kieran's, who were as powerful and as strong as they were this year. But at the same time, if you're willing to take that and realize that that's the level you've got to get to, well, now you know the standard that you have to try and aspire to getting up to. And I suppose somewhere in the back of your mind, not that we dwelt on it too much, but somewhere in the back of your mind, that there's a seed planted that if we get as far as those lads again, that is Kieran's, that we're not going to roll over. It does plant that little seed, and you kind of sometimes you just leave that seed there and you draw on it when the time comes, and that was probably part of our thought process in the lead up to the final, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So to start the year, Eire obviously mentioned that heavy defeat to Kieran's, but to start of this year, did you mention the Crow Cup? Was that referenced or was it firmly?
It was referenced, but only referenced. It wasn't, being honest with you, it wasn't the target. It wasn't the target. When I say we kind of maybe planted a seed with lads, it was that the ambition was to get back into the Croke Cup, but this time it was very much the ambition to get back in there as Connacht champions. And that if we were in that position, that number one, we'd be ready for it mentally and physically in every other way. And then number two, that when we got those opportunities, that we'd leave everything on the field. I suppose that was it. It wasn't that we were going to win the thing, because the challenge there is huge. You know what I mean? And you've seen that. You've seen the level you have to get to. And even going through the numbers in terms of what Kieran's have, numbers wise and ability wise, it's a huge challenge for all schools. And I, there's a broader picture there. I don't know whether we get into it or not, but I suppose in terms of Leinster schools hurling, whatever about All Ireland, definitely in terms of Leinster schools hurling, like Kieran's are nearly the elephant in the room, because they're kind of burying everyone else in Leinster, and I'm not sure that's good. But look, that's not Kieran's fault. It's their job to be the best they can be. It's just, I would imagine if you're in a Leinster school who are playing AA every year,
Particularly when
how
there's a
do
lot
you?
of combined skills as well.
I mean, the combined have had some element. I mean, Offaly did well last year and beat Cairns in the Leinster final. But as an individual school, which, and a Leinster title would be huge for an individual school, there's so many of those. And deep down, they have to know that they're going out in Leinster Championship every year, and really, they haven't got a chance. And that's for a competition, that's not great. And as I said, that's not Kieran's fault. I don't know what, there's probably no solution to it, but it is what it is, I guess.
Just as well, this year, the Connacht Championship, there's a special rivalry there now with Athenry that's really kind of brewed over the last few years. And in one sense, they all know each other from obviously them all playing with county development squads. You come up against Colm Moore, your own club man. What's the dynamic like with that rivalry between yourselves and Athenry over the last few years?
I suppose, look, the bottom line is that, as the young lads now, I mean, they play with one another on county teams. They know each other inside out. And what I would say, and it's not about Cathal in particular, it's about school management's. As a general rule, when you go and you take a team, and whether you're playing Gort or Clare Galway or St. Bridget's or Athenry, whoever it might be, generally speaking, between teachers on the sideline, I know it's not always the case, but generally speaking, there's huge respect there. And I think teachers who take teams like that on a voluntary basis, it's generally, they are doing it for absolutely all the right reasons. And that respect is there. I found that even very notable with the Kieran's lads before and after the game. Like there was massive respect on the sideline. We didn't have it in every game, Paul, but generally we had a few battles with the Nina lads in the semi-final. But generally there's massive respect there. And I think with between the players, of course they want to get the better of one another. And there is probably that element of rivalry. But that type of rivalry is really healthy. I think it drives the performance levels. I think, if you want to look ahead to the future, I think, Prez, I certainly would expect Prez to be very strong next year. And now they probably have that extra little bit of motivation, and that's good. And if being totally honest, like, we didn't get over the line, but if that bit of rivalry, for example, next year makes the Prez 3 or 4 points a better team, and if ultimately that gets them over the line in terms of a Croke Cup, or down the line if it were to happen for us again or any of the other Galway schools, like, wouldn't that be brilliant? Like, definitely the higher the level is between the groups in Connacht, obviously the better chance we have when we go outside Connacht. And I think that's something that collectively, as a county, we just need to keep pushing. There are reasons why we've only won it once, and I think that the distribution of players within Galway, like, there's so many good players going to so many schools. It's not like that, as we've talked about in Kilkenny. It's not like that that so many of the stronger players are all going to Cairns. It's more evenly distributed in Galway. But if we can keep rising the level at schools, it can only be good for the county.
Then, as you mentioned, you beat Athenry in that final, a great game. you referenced that your aim was to go into the All-Ireland series as Connacht champions. When you win that Connacht final, even from hearing a couple of the interviews, there was really a sense of relief, even for yourself and the players that day.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, it was. I look at. I wouldn't say the game itself, the Connacht final, was a classic. What it was two teams who knew one another inside out, and sometimes in that type of scenario, you get a more cagey affair. And it was for both of us. We were probably guilty of maybe doing a little bit too much on nullifying the opposition rather than playing maybe more open hurling. And also final now over the last few years has been played in Ballinasloe. Ballinasloe like is a tighter pitch, and it lends itself to that kind of game. But the big thing I think for us coming out of that was the fact that it went down to the wire. And look, they had a goal chance, and it could have gone the other way. But still, when you do things as you had planned on doing them, particularly in that second half, and it works out for you. Lads get a massive boost out of that. So I would say for the players, nearly quicker than ourselves, I think attention turned to the Croke Cup pretty quickly. It was a bit of a bonus that doesn't always work because it alternates from year to year, but this year it meant we were straight to the semi-final, and we had a month to get ready. And Vince Morgan had got injured, and that gave him the time to be ready. For a semi-final, it gave us time to kind of reset. The lads that were with the county squads, they could put a little bit of time in there and kind of tick that box from lads wanting to make obviously county squads and want to make teams for championships that are kicking off shortly. So it gave them time to go back with the county and then still be back and do a little bit with us in terms of prepping for Nina. So that was having that month there was really useful, and it meant we could get a block of work done with our lads as well.
The county squads, I do have to ask you, is that a challenge?
It depends how you approach it. I it's a challenge that I like because I generally have absolutely no problem with lads not training with us because they're training with the county squad. And there's obviously a time when, in the build up to the game where you're looking at the more tactical stuff and so on, that you really need to have them. But generally speaking, if they're going in training with the county under 20 squad with Fergal or the county minors with Kenneth, and I would totally trust that, they're getting a high level of training. So it's almost like, well, I don't need to worry about them training in school until it comes to the tactical side of it. So I would find that maybe, particularly with young lads, you're nearly pulling them off the pitch more often because they might have trained with the county on Tuesday and they want to train with you again on Wednesday because they want to put the shoulders to the wheel and they want to make sure that they're contributing to the school group. But you're kind of more often than not, you're actually holding them back for their own good because you're just conscious of their training load and that kind of thing. And I suppose there's an onus on all of us to make sure that they don't pick up injuries as a result of being overtrained or being overloaded. So I personally, I find that, from that point of view, no problem. I have to say Fergal and Kenneth, like no problems. They're really easy to work with. And that's just a communication piece. Like I suppose it's about managers not having egos, being honest, and not insisting on having their players all the time. You have to be willing to trust the other group that they're training with and just get that communication right and make sure that what you're doing is the best for the player. Maybe not the best for yourself as a manager or whatever or your team. Maybe there's a little bit of sacrifice there, but you have to look at the player and say what's best for him.
Just after the Connacht series, you get into the All-Ireland semi-final. Some might say you come under the radar, but you took care of Nina. But there seems to be, when you get into an All-Ireland series with a school team, that's when the buzz and the excitement starts, and it kind of really shows why these schools competitions are magical.
Being totally honest, like the last, I suppose whatever it was, the last six, seven, eight weeks probably in school have been it's been a joy to be honest with you, because like the lads are buzzing, everyone's buzzing for them. When they see the level that they can perform at, like it does so much for the players themselves. It also does so much for the school spirit. And we had the bonus this year that the girls in both junior and senior camogie were going so well, and like they've ultimately finished up with two All-Ireland titles. So you can imagine, the atmosphere around school was exceptional this year, and it lends itself. And I think this was a massive part of why things maybe kind of clicked for us, or why we went so far this year. It certainly lends itself to a kind of a special school spirit. And like, you don't always get that. And I know you don't get it in every school or whatever, but we felt that there was a really good spirit in the school and in the group. And it doesn't necessarily put points on the board for you, but when times get tough in the game, and you have that real collective sense of where you're going and what you want to do, and you're kind of have that one mind mentality, it is a big help. It is a big help when the going gets tough in games. And like, you go back over the years, and Brian Cody's interviewed after a big game, first thing he'll always reference is spirit. And if the team spirit is right, you can talk about all the tactics in the world or game plans or whatever, but if you haven't got that sense of spirit right going out onto the pitch, the rest of the stuff isn't really going to matter, in my opinion, anyway.
Was it hard after that victory over Nina? Because there's excitement, but you're dealing with young fellas here. Some have experienced at county, some others haven't. You're going to Croke Park, you're going on Paddy's Day. You obviously have to try and calm things down a bit. There's everyone running onto the pitch. I'm sure it's chaos after that All-Ireland semi-final, but was that hard for you?
I'm going to say no, not really. The last couple of minutes against Nina and the aftermath, well, you're right in saying that it was absolute chaos. And I suppose even on the sideline, because there had been so much going on the sideline in that second half, and you're trying to keep your own composure, you're trying to keep your team composed, and maybe not get distracted. The way the game had gone, funnily enough, even in the last few minutes, I certainly, and I know it's easy to say it now, but I had great faith in our lads getting the job done. I thought it was going to be a draw. I actually, honestly, I thought he would blow it up when we got the equalizer, but he ended up, and that could have gone either way, but we definitely had the momentum at that stage. We had managed to snatch back the momentum, having gone through a period where it was very, very stop start for a 15-minute period there in the middle of the second half. But yeah, it was, as you said, absolute chaos, and all that goes with that, all the joy and all the emotion that goes with actually getting over the line, and the realization that you're in the All-Ireland final. But where it became easy is when we got them back into the dressing room. And obviously the result from the other game had come through. I suppose there's nothing like Kieran's to refocus the mind, because I think even if it had been Ortscoil Ríos, because they had beaten us in a challenge match, we knew that was going to be a big challenge. But when you're going to the Ireland, and immediately we've had a super win here, but what's ahead of us now is an absolutely massive challenge. I think that makes it easier to get lads back on the ground. It's not as if we were going to be going in as favourites. We were very much going to be going in as the underdog. But nearly before we left that dressing room that evening, we had nearly got the mindset right. And not that we had to do any work, but it was, we've overcome one challenge. Now we've got the biggest challenge of all to face. And even I'd have to say the lads themselves. And this is where the year and the experience maybe of the previous year and all of that. You see, we look back at the previous year and we said, well, we were down players. We were down players, and we found it difficult to compete, and ultimately we were beaten by 21 points or whatever it was. But if you're a player on the pitch, their attitude was, no, we got distracted by being in the All-Ireland series and we didn't perform. And that's like, it was actually Shane Murray kind of said that to me. Shane's our goalie and has that bit of inter-county experience, and that was his take on it, that we didn't play to our level last year. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant, because it meant that
That's surely
like
great to
straight
hear
away.
from such a
Yeah, from
young
a young
fella
fella,
too.
I thought it was outstanding, and that probably reflected the maturity that was in the group, which you don't always get because we're very conscious that like lads could go to Croke Park. It's a very exciting proposition. They could absolutely get carried away by that and not perform at all. But it was actually the other way around. They were very focused on performance. The stuff that goes with the All-Ireland final, yes, we mentioned it, but we didn't even have to. The stuff like getting gear and all the external stuff, I suppose. We would have covered that a few times, but I don't think we really needed it. Like their heads were really well screwed on, and they were absolutely determined to put in a performance.
When you're there before the game and you're kind of walking the pitch before the game even gets started, you look up in the stand, you see Rafe colours, a lot of these you teach. Does it hit you how special it is then?
I suppose it does in fairness, and you do have to, of course, you're focused on making sure that everything is right, and I suppose as from the management point of view, myself and Ronan we'd be chatting all the time, and you'd be trying to make sure you've kind of all the boxes ticked, and making sure that at the end of the day that we have lads that are going to perform, But yeah, when you're walking the pitch and you look up and you see all the red and white, and the red and white, I suppose, really stands out as well. Like that it is huge. Yeah, it is, because look, at the end of the day, it's our little school, or it's our group that you wouldn't. I don't think many would have expected us. If you go countrywide, would have expected we'd be in the Crow Cup final at the very start of the year. But yet here we are, and I suppose you're conscious maybe of families up in the stand. Like it's a massive day for a family. None of our lads had ever played in Croke Park before, so that was a huge thing. But it's funny, we were walking the pitch beforehand, I just felt they were really relaxed, and they were in a good place to go and play. And I suppose that's ultimately what happened. They went and performed really well.
Have you watched back the final?
Yeah, I watched it back on the Monday. Was there learning in watching it back? Look, you probably always look at, I know certainly when I look back at a match, I'd always be looking at, no matter how many things went right, you're always going to look at the one or two things that maybe we could have tried, or we could have changed maybe a little bit quicker. But I even like my initial reaction after the game, definitely there was huge pride in the way we had performed. I think it's fair to say, Paul, that we ran ourselves to an absolute standstill, you know what I mean? And where we were bringing on maybe younger lads, couple of third years, they had definitely more seasoned campaigners. And that has been the Kilkenny under 20 team was announced, or under 20 panel was announced last week, and I suppose the enormity of what we faced kind of hit home when you see the number of Kilkenny lads involved in the county squads at under 20 and under 19. It's absolutely outrageous. But you look back now, and there's huge pride that we didn't back an inch from that, and we put it up to them all the way, and with a small bit of luck. And I know they hit a lot of wides and stuff like that, but with a small bit of luck, we could have actually got over the line there. You know what I mean? So look, there's huge pride, there's obviously disappointment, and that'll linger. But when you see the enormity of the task, and you look at the numbers that they have on those panels, that's certainly our lads can take pride in that, the way they performed.
Do you think it's hard for some of these young players to take pride? Like, you're obviously realizing Kieran's are like they're unbelievable. They'll obviously go down as the best club hurling school ever, but just for these young fellas, because for a lot of these young fellas, it's about winning when they're in a final, and maybe that's all they see when you can see the outside pitching.
Yeah, of course, and look, we've a lot of lads that have been, have played minor for Galway. A lot of lads who played last year's minor All-Ireland lost it. Lost a minor All-Ireland semi-final. These lads want to win something, and these are, they're trying to get to the highest level possible. And I'm not sure as a player. So when you do look at those squads and like some of the numbers, so the The Kilkenny 20s, as I said, was announced last week, and then you see that there's 10 of the Kieran's team are on the Kilkenny under 20s on the under 20 panel, and then the under 19. So there's an under 19 development league in Leinster this year, which obviously Galway are not included in, but it was actually something Kilkenny initiated. I think it's just Kilkenny, Wexford, Offaly, and Dublin, but there was a further 12 of the Kieran's lads on that. So you're talking about 22 lads. So that means you're a sub on your school team, but you're on a county under 19 or under 20 panel. And then there's two lads on the Laois under 20s team as well. So like, when I say the scale of what we face, that just maybe gives you a flavor of it. If you're a player, I'm not sure that you necessarily look at that, because at the end of the day, whoever's put in front of you, you want to try and beat them. And that was absolutely the goal of our lads, you know. But you know, when you look back at that and you say, right, well, we ran those lads absolutely to the wire. And that's why I mentioned there earlier, when the game was over, I felt, you know, Kieran's, they obviously carried themselves with a lot of class at the end of the final whistle and all that. But definitely I felt there was a huge sense of respect. There's one or two of the players that I kind of know indirectly, and then management, obviously, we would have chatted to them a few times in the past, and you meet them at different things, and there was definitely a huge level of respect there. And you know, I suppose our lads, what I would say is, on the day, our lads, I felt they certainly earned that respect. And one of the messages was like that. We didn't dwell on it too much, but this was a Galway team playing a Kilkenny team. And it is firmly my belief that if you're going to play any Kilkenny team and you're going to compete with them, that you absolutely have to fight. And because if you don't fight against a Kilkenny team, they'll find your weak link. And that, like, history has shown that. History has shown that I would say at all levels. And sometimes in Galway we can be hard on ourselves, but I think if you have that spirit and you're willing to fight for every inch, and you don't back down from those kind of physical exchanges and so on, then that makes it harder for them to find your weak link. Or maybe the weak link is not there because you're all of that kind of collective mentality. And I would really feel, and I would defend the lads on this, like, that we had that to the, you know, to the very end. We, as I said, I felt we just ran ourselves to a standstill in the effort of competing with them, you know.
Just if you're looking at the team overall, Paddy McCarthy had an unbelievable campaign for Sarsfields. Vince Morgan, Cullen Killeen, Oscar O'Gorman, these players, like they're generation talents, really. What do you put the success down to now if you're to look at the year in whole?
Honestly, in one word, it would be spirit. It would be, and I, you know, I know that's like, that doesn't necessarily put points on the board or doesn't necessarily get you anything if you haven't got enough quality. But it's like what I said earlier. I think you could have all the quality in the world, but if you don't have that, if you don't have the spirit right in the group, then that quality won't shine. And I just feel, look, it's a school environment. They're lads that have spent 5, 6 years together there, and maybe that's where we had a benefit in having, you know, such a small number of clubs, for example, that they're all really tight. They come from a pretty small area in the bigger scheme of things. You know, like Dunica Campbell is one of the most popular lads in the group, and like he's coming in from Capitagal, and the rest is and Adam Staunton is coming in from Tina Abidjanari. The rest of the lads are all from three clubs, and that certainly made it a very, very tight group. They've spent all that time together in school. And I suppose maybe you can just focus on that a little bit and make sure that bond is there. But if you're asking me about one factor, that's it. Obviously, we have players with loads of quality, but I think it was just the bond and the will that was there from them to be successful and do it for one another. I think that was the biggest thing.
As you see, some of them now leaving the school, going on to play. Obviously, they're all quality hurlers, but you often find 4 or 5 years on that people that have played school hurling, I suppose other things in life get in the way. Is that important for you now? You probably said it to them that you probably just want to see all these players and you want to ultimately see them playing hurling.
I'd be yeah, and look at lads, we go their own ways, and that's nowadays that's society as much as anything, you know, whether it's travel or we've some exceptional lads there who just hurling, and this is something I think we kind of have to accept at times. Hurling might just not be number one for some of these lads, you know, down the line, or they might just say, no, I want to go do something else or whatever. But you know, if you've played at that high level, you'll always have that opportunity, maybe, or you know that the skill set is there. And it's a question of whether you want to push on to a higher level. Like one of the things I was saying, like obviously I'm going up to and coaching lads from, you know, Kilkenny, Sarsfields, Loughrea, Capodaghle, whatever. And I'm from Turlochmore, and obviously I want to see Turlochmore win a county championship. But if that's Sarsfields, or if it's Kilkenny or Loughrea or whatever, like I would take huge pride in watching some of those lads in a few years' time, if that's what it's to be for them. In the same way, I would if it was, and I didn't mention earlier, if it was Tiernan Killeen at the moment, because you know, I suppose when you look down the line, and you see someone being successful, or you see someone like Tiernan on the county panel, you know, John Cooney, Shane Morgan. And I suppose you know that you've had something of an input into their progression and their development as a player. And obviously then when they are successful, you do take some pride in that, and you say, well, you know, if you contributed in some small way to making them a better player and a better person, well then, you know, you've made a decent contribution. You know, myself and Ronan would talk about that. Ronan is a good few years younger than me, so I think Ronan in many ways can even connect with them better than I can. You know, Ronan's in his 20s. They're I won't say they might be more inclined to listen to him because they're great lads, but I think, you know, he's closer to the group in terms of age, and I think it's easier for them to connect with Ronan than it is for me. But I think that connection, and it's certainly not the kind of normal student teacher relationship when you go to the dressing room or when you go to the pitch. But like Ronan has been absolutely brilliant on that score, because he just gets on with them and just gets them so well.
Just with these lads now, you mentioned a lot of them going into county panels now, and we see too in Galway when these players at minor 20, a lot of people will straight away just talk that it's going to take these lads a few years S&C to get up. Do you see for these players who are playing, do you see it as a big jump, or do you think for some of them that they're ready?
Look, the bottom line is nowadays it is a big jump. I just thought, and look, you know, even looking at the Kieran's lads, and I know that there's a real concerted effort in Kilkenny under Michael Fennelly, to streamline their development process maybe a little bit better. Now, you know, there's who's to say what the exact right way of doing this is, but I just felt, look, they had a lot of 19-year-olds, a lot of lads maybe in their last year or whatever. Physically, there was some of those lads were in pretty good nick in terms of heading into adult hurling. And while we've some lads who are in great shape as well, and physically have done all the work. And maybe it's because some of our lads are, you know, still only under 17, and they wouldn't, I don't think they were on, or they played any minor, for example. You know, minors were really important for us. Gavin Maher, you know, Owen Mullady were two crucial players for us. So maybe it's the age is influencing my thinking there a little bit, but I just thought that, looking out on the pitch, they looked a little bit further down the line on the S&C side than our lads. And I think it's just something, it's not for me to say how to do this, but I think it's something that we just need to be conscious of. It'll be the counties. I think the successful counties ultimately will be the ones that get that process absolutely right from 14 to 24. You know, you know, 10 years of players. That's a lot of players, and that's an awful lot of work. But whoever can get that pathway right, and get that balance right between games and training, between player development, the S&C side, all of the boxes that need to be ticked. And sometimes the problem with that is, I don't know if it's a problem you would say, coaches want to maybe do their own thing and want to be like, I mean, as the coach of the school team, obviously we want to, but are you able to, as a coach, maybe step back from it a little bit? And as I said to you earlier on in our conversation, are you able to look at this from the point of view of that individual player and what's best for that player? Or are you, as a coach, trying to get the most out of that player? I won't say for your own benefit or for your own progression as a coach. But are you putting the player first in terms of that player development piece? And like, that's hard for all of us. There's times you'd be tempted, but I think I can say that 99% of the time we try and put the player first. So case in point, Vince Morgan in the Connacht final had a very minor tweak. Physio comes off and he tells me that he just feels something, but physio, and like Stephen was our physio, Stephen Planning, he was brilliant. He said if he goes on one more hard sprint, it'll probably go. So it was like, get him off straight away. It might cost us the Connacht final, but what's the best for the player? And that's just an example of what I'm talking about, Paul. Like, pulled him off straight away. Ultimately, it was the best thing for us because we managed to win the game anyway. And 4 weeks later, he's available to play in the All-Ireland semi-final and plays really, really well and has a brilliant game in the final. You know what I mean? So it's that kind of stuff, but just I'm it left me very conscious of the S&C side and the level we have to get to if we want to compete for, I'd say maybe on the under 20 side more so than the under 17. And that's something I suppose personally I'll just be keeping an eye on to see how that progresses over the next couple of years and whether we're by the time we're hitting 22, 23 with some of the players that you'd have your eye on, not just from Rayfields, but from, you get to know the players in other schools so well, and you have a fair idea of what's there and who the ones that you feel have the potential to really step up are. So that's something I'll watch with great interest over the next few years.
For yourself, it must have been a busy last few months.
Yeah, it's busy. It's busy. I think if you ask any of my family, they might tell you that, all right, Paul. So kind of the way it worked pretty much since definitely from December on is you'd be in Dublin 3 times a week, probably for until the Welsh Cup started. It was kind of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And then school training was pretty much Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And that's honestly. The school probably did as many sessions as Dublin did in that period of time, and that's the kind of effort that the lads put into it. And sometimes you wonder where you're going to, or when it's over, you wonder how you found the time because something else takes over or whatever. But I've never found that, particularly with school, I've never found that a chore, Paul. I absolutely love it. And I think what I've always found with the school team in particular, yeah, you're given a lot and you're committing a lot, you're committing a huge amount of time, but I will honestly say hand on heart that it's probably a labor of love, but you get so much back. You get far more back than what you actually put into it. That's always been my opinion on that.
Just one on a whole day, before we do finish. Just a lot meant over the last few weeks of the National Hurling League and its future. Probably a lot of complaining from various people done. From being involved in it, do you think the importance of it has gone back a bit, or is too much being made out of it?
No, no, it has gone back. It has gone back a lot. I think it's gone back a lot. And I think once they made the decision, was the first championship, unfortunately, the first championship where we had the round robin. Was that 2019 or 18? 18. Just comparing for us, 17 and 18, 18 became a very taxing year. It was nine championship matches. And it's funny when you go look back in hindsight, and this is in no way kind of making excuses or anything, but I often wonder to myself, did actually 18 take so much out of us with the county team? That was that a big part in us, struggling to really get going in 19? We got one really good performance in 19 where we beat Kilkenny and Nolan Park, and unfortunately 6 days later we were out of the championship. But 18 was definitely a very taxing, and we could spend an awful lot of time on the ins and outs and that. But I think once they switched to the round robin in Leinster and Munster, I think they should have done something with the league as well at that point. I think it's from there on that has really devalued the league. Now, if it was up to me, I'd probably put, you have the five Munster teams, and whether it's five or six or whatever from Leinster, I'd probably put them all into one block. And that starting, you could nearly get away with starting, instead of starting like we're starting now on the first weekend of February, which is very early for hurling in particular. Pitches are in bad shape, and I'd say you definitely get away with starting on the 1st of March. And what I actually the way I do it is that in the run of the year, you'd actually play all the other 10 teams. And there's no league final, whoever's top of the league, but that the Leinster teams would play all the Munster teams in all the first five rounds, and then the Leinster teams would play the Leinster teams, and that would double as your Leinster championship. So you could actually combine the whole thing into one, but the league champions then are whatever team is on top after the 10 rounds, and then you've either through your Leinster championship and your Munster championship, you've either progressed to your Munster and Leinster final from your performances within the province, and then that whoever progresses to the All-Ireland quarterfinals is based on your overall position. That's how I would do it. I think it would condense the whole thing down, make it more manageable, and maybe you might get a little bit closer to that balance that's not quite there yet between that club and county on the split season. That's just my own opinion on it, but certainly, let's go back and answer your question. I do feel the league is seriously devalued. And look, you'll have two teams next week who will absolutely go at it now to win it, because it's still silverware and it's national silverware and all that. But in the greater scheme of things now, yeah, it's certainly gone well down the pecking order.
From being involved, Fernie, have you ever seen as many injuries? Because it just seems across the board this year, every county, whether it's football or hurling, the number is just insane at the minute.
Yeah, and I think that's a consequence maybe of there's so much going on. I think if I look at, I'm only going to talk about hurling, but it has become a really, really demanding sport in terms of the physicality required, the kind of intensity, the distances they're covering, the fact that you play a match on a Sunday. If it's Galway playing Cork down in Bartlequeeve, they have a long journey home. They're all getting up for work on Monday. There isn't that recovery time to make sure they're 100% right for a week later. So I think what's happening is in terms of our match structure, our competition structures and all of that, we are, as an organization, I think we're being very professional, and we're probably looking at professional sports, and we're saying, well, they can, like soccer players can play 60 games a season, but it's you don't see lads in soccer matches like hitting the physicality levels that we hit in hurling matches, for example. And you don't see that the same amount of physical. Yes, they're professional athletes, and they cover such ground in a soccer match, for example. Or a rugby match, I suppose, where it is very physical, but they then have that time to recover and get ready for the following week, and their bodies can become conditioned to that. Our players are not getting that opportunity, so I suppose they're expected to be professional in absolutely everything they do, but they're not. They don't have that opportunity to recover and get themselves right to go again. And I think that's a big factor in terms of the number of injuries that lads pick up. And maybe, the fact that some of the, particularly county players don't really get much of a break at all. There's no real off season for them. And I think that has to be a factor as well.
Absolutely.
Don't ask me
Some
for solutions on that one, though, because I'm not qualified.
That's all we do have time for on today's podcast. Franny, thanks a million for coming on.
Not at all, Pat.